Brothers and sisters, the church gives us a lot to think about in this Christmas season. Since Christmas, we've already celebrated three feasts. We celebrated the feast of St. Stephen, the first martyr in the life of the church. We celebrated the feast of St. John the Evangelist and also the Apostle. Yesterday was a story of the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Those children, those boys, 2 years and younger, that Herod set out to destroy in search of the Christ child. We hear that story, some of that story today. But certain boys did die, and so we honored their martyrdom yesterday. A week after Christmas, this coming Wednesday, we'll celebrate a second holy day of obligation, Mary, Mother of God. Next week when we come, we'll celebrate Epiphany, a feast. Following that, another feast, the baptism of the Lord. So doesn't it make sense that we celebrate a feast today? And we do. Today we honor the Feast of the Holy Family. When I think of a family, I'm reminded of a little legend that I want to read to you today. And here's the legend. There's a city in Germany called Weinsberg. Overlooking the city is a high hill. On the very top of the hill stands an ancient fortress. Townspeople of Weinsberg tell an interesting legend about that fortress and that hill. Seems that back in the 15th century, in the days of chivalry and honor, an enemy circled that hill and sealed off all the townspeople inside the fortress. The enemy commander then sent word to the fortress, saying that he would allow the women and children to leave and go back before he launched his devastating attack. After further negotiations, the enemy commander also agreed on his word of honor to let each woman take to freedom with her the most valuable possession she owned, provided she could carry it. Can imagine the enemy's consternation and surprise when a few minutes later, the woman marched out of the fortress with children at their side, each one carrying on her back her husband. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate with all of you wives today if that would be the case today. But it does tell, creative twist to a story, but it does tell an eternal truth. The greatest treasure a wife can have is a good, faithful, holy husband. The greatest treasure that a wife can have is a good, holy, faith-filled husband. And you know, is it to the extent that you treasure each other, what a gift you become to your children, and your children in turn to you. Okay, so the power today of the family. And I want to work on this word today with you today. We're going to talk about the word holy. I'm going to talk a little bit about what that means today. Because today for Jacob, we celebrate holy baptism. So what does that mean? Now, when we talk about holy, I'm not going to concern myself with these types of questions. Did Jesus eat his peas when told to do so? Did Jesus ever argue about bedtime or curfews? Being the son of a carpenter, did Jesus ever cut a board too short or too long? Did Jesus ever hit his thumb with a hammer? Those words would talk about perfection. That's not the word I'm looking at. I'm not looking at perfect today. The word I'm looking at is this word. It is the word holy. Okay? So first of all, think about the word, how the word holy changes things. I'll give you three examples. If I throw out someone has a great deal of spirit, that what does that mean? It means they got a lot of pep in them, doesn't it? We hear about team spirit. People will go overboard in jubilation cheering for their team. If I throw out the word water, okay, we think about that, what we drink, and also that what we use to cleanse. If I throw out the word oil, I think about my pickup, and every 7,000 miles I have to take my pickup in and I have to change the oil, okay? 5W30. Three examples. Now, take the word holy and put it in front of every one of them and notice how different it sounds. Are you ready? Spirit becomes Holy Spirit. We're not talking about team spirit. We're talking now about the third person of the Holy Trinity. We talk about the word water, throw in the word holy before, and we talk about holy water. None of us would dare go out into that baptismal font, take out a glass, and drink the water in it. It's holy water. Think about oil, okay? Put the word holy before it, and we think holy oil. In our gathering space, we have our holy oils. We're going to use two today. We're going to use the oil of the catechumens, the sacred chrism, and for those who are sick, we're going to use the oil of the infirm. All right. So what does the word holy mean? Do you realize all of you are holy by virtue of baptism? The word holy means this: someone or something set apart for the service of God. Okay? I could give you a quick example. When people come forward and they ask me to bless something like a rosary, it isn't something that we all of a sudden take and do this with. Okay? We don't do that, do we? Why? Because when it's blessed, it's set aside for the service of God. Okay? That's what it is. I'll give you a great example here. Think about the word order, and just pretend I gave you all of you a sheet of paper, and I give you the numbers 0 through 10 scrambled, and I tell you I want you to put them in order. No one here would give me the numbers as follows: 3, 6, 9, 10, 1, 4, all of these things. You give them to me in sequential order, okay? One following the other. We call that logical order. Take the word holy and put it in front of it, and it sounds like this: those set aside for the service of God in sequential order. It's the only sacrament, by the way, holy orders, that is plural, because we deal with three levels of orders. There are deacons, there are priests, and then there are bishops. So I'm going to ask you the sacraments. You tell me if each can do these. Are you ready? Can a deacon baptize? Forgive sins? Preside over the celebration of the Mass? Confirm? No. Witness marriages?
Yes.
Yes, they can. Ordain?
No.
Anoint the sick?
No.
No, they cannot. That's the greatest confusion people can. A deacon cannot anoint someone who's sick. Priest? Can a priest baptize? Forgive sins?
Yes.
Can a priest preside over the Eucharist? Confirm?
Yes,
yes he can, in extraordinary circumstances. Witness marriages? Celebrate the anointing of the sick? Ordain people? No. So who's the only one that can ordain? It's the bishop. There you have it. Sequential order, then, of people set aside for the service of God would be deacons, priests, bishops. That's what happens for Jacob today in holy baptism, set aside for the service of God. Today changes things. It changes things. Okay? So think for a moment about the Holy Family. We have a father, Joseph, a mother, Mary. We also have a child, Jesus, set aside for the service of God. Was it easy? Quiz question for you today. Let's see how well you were listening to the gospel. Do you know how many dreams Joseph had in today's gospel? You know what it was? Three. He dreams more than I dream. He had a dream told, get out of Israel, go to a foreign country. That wasn't easy, by the way. I think a lot of us think when he got to Egypt, they just sat there all day and the food just came piling in. No way. Imagine how hard it is to go into a foreign country and try to find something to eat to earn a living. Second dream, he's told you can go back to Israel. Finally, it's time. Once they probably have friends in Egypt, they got to pack up and it's time to go back. But in the third dream, what do they realize? Probably not wise to go back to Bethlehem. So they end up in Nazareth. And so what do we learn in that? The Holy Family's call was this word: holiness. The love of God reigned, centered, and conquered all things. I want to read this to you today, and these are words that I would give myself and all of us today. In closing, when I think of what advice the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph might give us, we ask them for one simple tip on how to be a better person in the process, a better family. I think of Lady Bird Johnson, the wife of President Lyndon Johnson. It was Lady Bird's 75th birthday. When the interviewing reporter asked her if she had any words of advice to give to people on her 75th birthday, Lady Bird said, "Yes, I do." Then she added, "Listen to this. Each day, do a little more than you think you can." Each day, do a little more than you think you can. Great words for somebody in a family, somebody who's single, widow, any one of us. do a little more than you think you can. Love a little bit more than you think you can. Forgive more than you think you can. Sacrifice more than you think you can. Because by virtue of baptism, we are holy. But what I want us to do in holiness, to be holy, is we want to become holiness is the key. That's what we got to be. Holy people become, lead to holiness. The love of God centers, reigns, and also conquers all things. It's how you do it. A little bit more than you think you can. You know what that means? You got it in you to do it. Sometimes we just don't think we can do it. You got it. Just get to it. Holy people live lives of holiness. So today, as we honor the Holy Family, let's pray for all families. Let's pray for our homes, our country, our world, as we conclude today with our sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.